Now that brings us to chapter 3, and we've been looking at some very interesting subjects. You remember back in 1, it was heathen customs judged, and here in chapter 2, it was heathen philosophy judged, and now we come to heathen pride is judged in chapter 3, and I've given the subject of this chapter, the decree of Nebuchadnezzar to enforce universal idolatry. And the 3 Hebrew children are cast into the furnace when they refuse to bow to the image of gold. Now, I'd like to read here the first section. We have in verses 1 and 2 the construction of the image of gold by Nebuchadnezzar to institute a universal religion. I'm reading now. Verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Verse 2. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now you'll notice we're told it's an image of gold, and it reveals the lavish display of wealth and workmanship which went into the construction of this impressive image. Now, some scholars think that Nebuchadnezzar constructed this image in memory of his father, Nabopolassar. Others are equally convinced that he made it to Baal, that was the pagan god of Babylon. But actually, it's more likely that he made it of himself, as Daniel had declared that he was represented as the head of gold in the dream image. Now, instead of humbling himself before God, why, the dream had caused him now to be filled with excessive pride. And he made an entire image of gold to represent the kingdom he'd built, the head of gold, you see. Now it's 60 cubits high, and it's 6 cubits in breadth. And that, my friend, was a pretty good size image. Now if a cubit is 18 inches, and it was certainly in that neighborhood, this image was 90 feet high. Now that's very high. And Babylon was situated on a plain, flat country. It was a city of skyscrapers in that day. And the height of the image made it visible to great multitudes, for the plain of Dura was sort of like an airport of that day. It was flat and expansive, and it enabled a great multitude to assemble for the worship of the king. And so for the dedication of the image, all the leaders and government officials were present. In other words, the brass was there at first, and they were to sell this project to the people. This was the first step in the brainwashing program. These bureaucrats comprised a great company, by the way. Now, let's look at this for a moment. What was it Nebuchadnezzar really had in mind here? Well, it shows, number one, the rebellion of Nebuchadnezzar against the God of heaven who had given him world dominion. Instead of being grateful, this is a definite attempt of rebelling against him. Then there's another thing, the second. It shows likewise his vaunted pride in making an image which evidently was self-deification. The Roman emperors attempted that later on. And then there's a third reason here. Obviously, he was seeking a unifying principle to weld together the tribes and tongues and peoples of his kingdom in a great totalitarian government. That was the thing that he had. In other words, he's picking a world religion. And this was nothing in the world but a repetition of the Tower of Babel, in forming one religion for the world. By the way, does that sound like anything you hear about today? They're working on it today. Unfortunately, there are a great many people that are staying in denominations connected with the World Council of Churches. My friend, They're moving to a world religion today, and you want to know something? They're going to leave Jesus out altogether. Now, all of these attempts, therefore, are made not to worship the living and true God, but actually to oppose Him. And these modern movements today all go in the same direction. What it's going to lead to is to the great tribulation period, to the man of sin, the false prophet, after the church is removed from the earth, the true church, those that are in the body of believers. And don't think that I'm left out. A great many people today have formed little cliques as if they are the ones. I want to say to you, every believer in Christ, I don't care who he is. I don't care about the color of his skin, the name of his denomination. If he's trusted Christ, we're all going to go out together. Now, will you notice? I think this chapter is historic in its content, and seemingly it's just out of place here. But there is an adumbration of the period here, the Great Tribulation. The things that happen here are prophetic picture of coming events during the Great Tribulation. Nebuchadnezzar represents the beast out of the sea, the Antichrist. The fiery furnace that he's going to put these Hebrew children in is the suffering of the Great Tribulation. The image represents the abomination of desolation that the Lord Jesus mentions. And the three Hebrew children represent the remnant, which will be miraculously preserved during this period. But do you notice that Daniel is absent? He wasn't put in the fire furnace. He's not even mentioned in this chapter. Where was he? Well, we were told that he was made ruler over Babylon. I think he's out somewhere in the end of that kingdom on state business. He was out, you know, maybe representing Nebuchadnezzar before some of the rulers, petty rulers out there. And may I say, his very absence is interesting. Daniel represents the church which is removed from the scene of the Great Tribulation. May I say to you, the events in this chapter, though historic, they have prophetic significance, and it makes it extremely interesting to look at.